Good morning. Okay, before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. Lord, just give thanks for the place that you have provided with us this morning to come and worship you. And I lift this coming time into your hands as we open our ears to listen to what you have to share with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Morning. So, carrying on from last week, this week we're going to talk about more. So from the time as babies, we have already started wanting more. Instead of being carried around all the time in big plastic things that we call them strollers, or being in the arms of someone we know that are our parents, we wanted more. We wanted to know more about the world that is around us. And that is why we started to crawl. Instead of being carried around, we started to crawl. But crawling is too slow. So we decided that we're going to start to learn how to walk so we can be a bit more fast. So we wanted more speed, but walking is not enough. So as you can see, in Kapos Elementary, we have kids running around all the time because speed is what they want, more speed. And that is not enough. What do we want more? We want to explore more of the world. So we wanted more food as well. And that is when we learn how to communicate with sounds. You hear babies go, ah, ah, yeah, yeah. That is them trying to communicate that they want more. But sound is not enough. What they want more next is to start to speak. That's when they start to copy the words we have. They say, yes, no, I want more. But yet, that is only the start of us wanting more. And as we grow up, we want more food. We want more toys. We want more attention, more love, and more affection. More and more. And as we enter into our teenage years, it is hard to tell ourselves that we are contented with what we have. So we still wanted more. We wanted more freedom. We wanted more independence. We wanted to be able to do more at our age. So at that age, we are still dependent on our parents. So what do? To have more freedom, we decide to get a job. Job to get more money to buy more clothes, a new phone, more clothing, more iPhone, more iPad, more games. So that is what we want more. And as we get older and older, we start to have more of different things. We want more money. We want more raise, more deals, more sales. And at a certain age, we want more time to sleep because sleep is never enough. We want more time to laze around. Even when we are about to die, we are still wanting more. What do we want more of? We want more time. We want more time with our families. We want more time to do things that we have never taken the time out to do. Throughout our whole entire life, we have been wanting more and more. Does it feel good? Does that fulfill you? Does it make you feel that you've accomplished something with your life? There is nothing wrong with wanting more, but the things that we want, does it make you feel that it's worth it at the end? Last week, Pastor Wilbur, he shared with us about the things that we wanted more in our lives. He shared about how some of the things we wanted have a pattern of endless cycle of desires and disappointments, and how in our lives we always want more, yet the things we want do not fulfill us. And all of this are done in vanity. He also tells us how we are committing idolatry when we have something other than God that we pursue with our whole heart, mind, and body. And in our folly, we pursue more of the things that does not matter. None of that matters. And he challenged us not only to give up wanting more of those idols that we have in our lives, but to renounce the no-God idols and challenge us to retune our whole entire being to pursue God. But that is when we start to question ourselves. We're not sure if we can go back to pursuing God with our whole being. We're not sure if we can have more of what God is providing. We're not sure if we can listen more diligently to what God is saying. And we question if we can have more of what is good. We wonder if we can have those things that God promised us. Can we really have more of what God promised? When we are faced with this kind of questions, a typical answer that most people would receive is yes. Yes, you can have more. Yes, it is possible to have more. Just pray for more faith and ask Him to help you overcome all these different challenges. More is possible if you have faith and you pray. It is possible. I remember when my friend, he was a new believer, he came up to me, he said, "Kanan, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to follow God more. But I'm not sure if I can." So being his good friend, I thought, oh, that's a good thing. You want to have more of Jesus. You want to follow Jesus more. That is excellent. I am so happy for you. And being that good little Christian boy that grew up in church, my first reaction to him asking that is, I will pray for more faith for you. That is my typical answer. Yes, you can. I will pray for more faith for you. And I said, bro, it's easy. Come, let's pray. God, give my friend here more faith in you. Amen. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Some of us seated here might be thinking, oh, that is a good answer. In fact, that is the excellent answer, perfect answer to this kind of questions. More faith. And every time when we are faced with a problem, all you have to do is, God, give me more faith. And that's all. Nothing wrong with that, right? And some of us might be thinking, that's what I should be doing anyway, right? As a Christian, should I be praying for more faith, more experience with God, more of this goodness that God can give? Nothing wrong. And for some of us seated here, you might be thinking, faith is something so hard to have. And it's only natural for us to pray for such a thing. Because through prayer, then we can get more faith. But some of us are thinking, am I the only one who's seated here asking for such a thing? Does it mean I'm not as Christian as the person beside me if I'm praying for more faith? Is it even okay for me to ask for more faith? If you're thinking that, you're not alone. There are others before us that have come to God and come to Jesus and they've asked for the same exact thing. And the notable ones that ask for this thing are the apostles. That comforts us, doesn't it? To know that the apostles too ask for the same thing. So let us look at how we can have more faith along with the apostles. The apostles, they ask for this from Jesus. They ask for the same things as we want. They ask for more faith. So let us turn to Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. If you read the ESV Bible, at the start of this section, the title given is Increase Our Faith. Looking at the title, it seems like it's a very promising section of the passage. So let us read and see in detail what it talks about. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, the apostle said to the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So it looks like the apostles, they ask for the same thing that we are wondering about. Guys, we are in good company. We are not alone when we say we want more faith. The apostles ask for the same thing too. At least we are thinking and wanting the same things as the apostles did, asking for more faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And the reason that they asked for Jesus to increase their faith is so that they can be more bold in following Him. They wanted more faith so they could stand firm in what Jesus was teaching them. The apostles, they wanted to have more experience with God just as Jesus did. They wanted to have more relationship. They wanted to have more. Even though these people spent a lot of time with Jesus, they were not confident. And this is similar to some of us. We want to have more of the relationship with God. We want to have more of that experience with God. We want to have more faith. But at the same time, we are not confident that we can have it. Now, all these things are good. And let us see how Jesus actually replies. In verse 6, Jesus replied, If you have faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Take note. Take note of what the description that Jesus used. He did not say, Okay, Peter, to increase your faith, what you got to do is go and memorize the law books. okay? When you can memorize the law of books, your faith would increase from 10% to 15%. He did not say, Andrew, go and spread the gospel to 5 different people. And after you have done that, you can increase your faith from 43% to 50%. No, this is not a role-playing game. This is not a game where you grind and grind again. You do the same things over and over again so that your character stats will go up. This is not what Jesus is saying. He's telling you that you just need faith like a mustard seed. But why mustard seed? Mustard seeds are so small. If you look at the picture, you can barely see the seed that is on the palm of your hands. It's only a few millimeters across when you measure it at its widest point. Shouldn't Jesus say something like faith should be like the mountains, where mountains are big and unmovable? It doesn't make much logical sense. Faith should be firm, unshakable. Yet Jesus, he used mustard seed. Jesus, you didn't even say 1 kilogram of mustard seed. You didn't say 1 mountain worth of mustard seed. You said 1 grain. Are you sure? When we pray, God, give me faith that's unshakable, unmovable, firm and sturdy, like the mountain. Who would pray, say, God, give me mustard seed worth of faith? It's small. The wind blows it away. No one prays that way. But that is yet what Jesus say. It is confusing. It's counterintuitive. All he said is just 1 grain of mustard seed and everything is possible. Let us understand it from this way. Jesus, when he uses mustard seed and 1 grain of mustard seed, he is saying that the size doesn't matter. He is saying that the quantity doesn't matter. But what matters if the size and the quantity doesn't? Is there no way we can increase our faith? So let us keep that in mind as we figure out, as we look to someone else, where Jesus said, I have never seen such faith before. So let us now turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. This is an encounter between the Roman centurion and Jesus. And this is what he says. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 6, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and he said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. To understand this passage, we have to first look at the man. This man who went to Jesus, he is not a Jew, but a Roman. Not just any Roman, but a Roman centurion. To understand the background of this man who took the first step to approach Jesus, we need to know that a centurion is someone with authority. This centurion is someone who commanded at least 100 men. And he would be an important leader. For him to approach Jesus, it's so unusual because as a centurion, normally he's the one who gives orders. But in this case, he was the one who approached Jesus. It showed his basic recognition of Jesus' greater authority. And when he approached Jesus, he had none of that arrogant presence that a Roman centurion might have. We have to remember this. We have to take note of this because during that time period, the ones who ruled were the Romans, and they were in charge of everything. If they wanted something done, they just said a word. He could have said, Jesus, come to me, instead of him going to Jesus. But he was humble in his approach to Jesus. He recognized, he understood the identity and the authority that Jesus has.
In verse 9, he said, I too am a man under authority. The Roman centurion expressed his understanding of authority that Jesus has in accordance to his own understanding of the authority that he had. The phrase, a man under authority, does not mean that he himself has authority or that he's under authority, but it also means that he has received great authority from his superiors. The authority of the Roman emperor was delegated, and he, as a Roman centurion, received part of that authority. And in a legion, a centurion is a key leader. He is someone with the authority to direct his men in battle. The commands he gave comes with the authority of the Roman emperor himself. And deriving from his own experience as someone with authority, he showed and he understood the authority that Jesus has when he approached Jesus for the healing of his servant. By saying that he has absolute authority over his men, his commands of come, go, or do this, do that, he shows that he understands that the power behind Jesus is far greater than any power in this world, and that Jesus has unlimited power and supreme authority, not just over people, but over nature as well. And therefore, in his understanding of what authority meant, he applied it to Jesus. It is the same for someone like myself when I serve in army, when I tell my men, do 10 push-ups, they do 10 push-ups. That is what authority meant. And he applied that same concept of authority to the authority that Jesus holds. And with that understanding in mind, all he asked for was just a word. All he asked for was just a word. A word for his servant to be healed. Now, we have to take a look at the whole of Matthew to know the impact of this one incident. Because up till now, all the events in Matthew, distance healing was not recorded in it. And this is the first time that someone asked Jesus to heal from distance. And this first time was not asked by a Jew. It was not asked by a Pharisee. It's not asked by someone who knew the scriptures well. It was asked by the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion who did not grow up with the Bible, he understood the power that Jesus had, the authority that Jesus had. His understanding was profound. And Jesus, he marveled at this man's faith. His response was to say, never have I seen before a faith like this in the whole of Israel. Because this faith that the Roman centurion had, Jesus told him at the end, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And through this whole interaction, we can see this. We can see that it was the level of understanding towards authority that the Roman centurion had that Jesus brought about such a faith that I've never seen before in the whole of Israel. It is the understanding of faith. So let us go back to Luke 17. Jesus has said that the size doesn't matter. The quantity doesn't matter. But what actually matters? What actually matters is the understanding that we have towards God, the identity of Jesus, the authority and the power that Jesus holds is shown by the Roman centurion, someone who did not grow up with the scriptures, someone who did not have the luxury of reading the Bible, and he had that understanding of authority because he has authority. And through that authority, he could apply it to Jesus. And since we now know that it's the authority of Jesus and the right understanding of who Jesus is that is important, the question is, will we have faith in that? Faith boils down to two things. The first thing is understanding. The first is for us to understand who Jesus is. The first thing is for us to understand the power that Jesus holds, the authority that Jesus has. We need to understand that God wants you to have more, More of what? More of the goodness. We need to understand that God is there to give us more goodness, more experience of Him. And we need to understand that it is all possible. Understanding means that you take the time to know who God is. Understanding means that you take the effort to know God's words. That is the first thing you have to do. You have to understand. But understanding is not enough. That is only the first part. The second part of the equation is action. Faith is understanding plus action. Having faith alone is not enough because if you don't act on it, your faith would just be words. What does action actually mean? If we look at it and we rephrase Luke 17, 5 to 6, we could paraphrase it this way. We can read it as, Lord, give us a greater ability to live according to the understanding of you. Take note of this part, ability to live according to the understanding of you. That means action. Because if you live, it means you have to take action. If you don't take action, you are just sitting there and that is it. When you want to have faith, it doesn't mean that you pray, Lord, give me faith, and you sit there twiddling your thumbs, waiting for faith to drop out from the sky. It doesn't work that way. But the way that it works is that we commit ourselves to take that first step. But you have to make the commitment. You have to take that first step. But first step is always the hardest part. Just for myself, when I chose to study theology as my master's degree, I was only 26 years old. And at that age, 26 years old meant that I still have dreams. I dream of getting married. I dream of having children. But as you can tell, when you work as a pastor, your salary is slightly different from your salary out there when you work in sales. And that was my major concern. I did not know if I have enough money because to have all of that requires money. But when I decided to study theology, it meant that I had to take faith. I have to have faith in God. I have to have faith in knowing that God wants to have me experience more of Him, more of that goodness that He would provide. So when I understood that God would always provide for me and that understood that more of Him is possible, I had to take action. And the first step I did was to apply for theology school, apply to Regent College, and wait. And wait and see if they would accept me. And know that if I were to dedicate my life to serving Him, I would experience more of Him. But for some of us, for the rest of us who are seated here, you're thinking, well, that is because you're a pastor. That's why you can say, it's so easy, just have faith and go. But the rest of us, we have a different kind of first step. Some of us might be thinking, you know, I have to provide for my family. I have two kids. I have two cars. I have parents who don't work. My wife's parents don't work. I have to provide for so many people. A lot of them are relying on the income I have. But I know that the job that I have is not exactly the best. Because every single day when I go to work, I am pushed to the point of cursing and swearing. And I am pushed to the point of wanting to flip the table. And I know that in that job, the more goodness of what God promised is not there. And every single day, that is my biggest struggle. The goodness of God is not there. The more of God, I do not experience it. But what do I do? How can I have faith? Then let me encourage you. First, understand that the promise of God is there. It is possible. It is possible to experience more of God. And take that first step. Take the first step to apply for a different job. Know that God will provide for you. The more goodness of Him is there for you. But you have to take the action. You have to apply for a different job and have faith that God will provide for you. For some others, you might be thinking, oh, I have that promotion coming up. It's a recognition of my competency. It's a recognition of all that I'm good at. But if I take that promotion, it means I have to work on Sundays. I cannot keep serving. But on the other hand, I have more money. I have a bigger bonus. I have a company car, the corner office looking out onto Barrat Street. I get all that thing. But on the other hand, I cannot serve. How do I know that God will provide more for me? How do I know that God will help me? What do I do now? It is for us to understand that God, when you want to serve Him, that more that you get from serving Him, that is possible. So your action now is to negotiate with your boss and tell your boss, "Boss, I am competent, I am good. So you know what? I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm just going to work on Monday to Fridays. Why not I work on Saturday instead of Sunday? I'll come in on Saturday." And negotiate with Him and have faith that God will work on your behalf and help you to experience the more of Him. It is possible. Don't just come to church and when you worship, you have that motivation, you feel good, and you say, "God, give me more faith." And when you turn around, you walk out of the church and you forget about asking God for more faith. If you're going to ask for faith, have faith and then you walk. And then when you step out of church, you know and you take action. Take that first step to having faith. Have an understanding of who Jesus is. Know His authority. And say to the Lord, "I want you more." Have action. Remember what the centurion said. Remember he took the first step. Have faith like a grain of mustard seed. And have faith like the Roman centurion. Let us pray. Lord, as we come before You, we always ask You for more faith. But today we ask of You to give us an understanding of Your authority. We ask of You to give us an understanding of Your identity. Help us to understand Your power. Have more understanding of what You promise us. Have understanding of the goodness that You promised us. Help us to know that all this more that You promise is possible. Help us to be able to take that first step, to have the action of going to You. For those who are thinking about that right now, I invite you to pray and for you to know that God is going to help you and that more is there for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Would you please stand? In just a second, we're going to sing a song of response to God. And before I sing it, I want you to invite you to do an exercise with me. Is there something that through that sermon, God is speaking to you and He's telling you, "My child, you should go. You should go and do this." Maybe God's prompting you, maybe He's put a little thought in you for a longest time already. He's telling you, "You should go do this for me. Or you should put this up for me. You should give this up for me. You should go maybe reconciled to that brother or sister. Or you should go and give this out or serve this place." Is there something that God has been calling you to do? Something that requires more faith? And if there is that thing, I want you to pull it into the center of your attention. Pull it into the front of your head. And then as we sing the song of response, I want you to sing over that thing, over that challenge, over that mission, over that calling. So I'll give you some time now to bring that into focus. Spirit. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit leads me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit leads me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit leads me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit leads me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. And I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine.
God, I pray that this congregation will be a congregation that actions. I bless this congregation that this church will be a church that do things, not just listen to things. I bless this church that is not only hearing and understanding, but there is a huge part of action involved in this church. Because you have called us not to just understand the word, but do the word. Whoever hears the word and does them, he is a blessed man. So God, we pray that the actions of this church will go beyond the four walls of wherever we gather. May this church be known for its action of love and generosity. May this church be known for its actions of compassion to people. And I think the most of all, may this church be known for its action of the passion of Jesus Christ. That the love for God that we have is something that can be seen because we acted out according to our faith. Receive the benediction from God. Rejoice always. And pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now here, do not quench the Holy Spirit. If you have a prompting from God, do not quench that prompting. And certainly do not despise the word of God, because he has spoken to you today. Do not despise the word that you have received. And may the God himself, God of peace himself, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. And he will surely do it. Amen, 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 amen.